The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and This Week in Comics. This is episode number 100 for John and I. Pretty historic for us. Can't say we didn't think we'd make it here, but it is still pretty cool. It's so cool. We were so excited about it. We didn't even mention it in the show. We thought of it afterwards. We're like, oh yeah, this is our 100th. We just had fun talking. So, for the 100th time, I'm about to walk into the store. Let's go. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Well, you know how I'm doing. We've been talking now for about 40 minutes.
I was just going to say that. You should know how I'm doing. We've been talking forever.
I was going to come in the store with, something different, but I'm like, you know what? Hey, John, how you doing? That's the normal. So that's what I went with, but I'm like, we've been sitting here, we hit record and we didn't start the quote show proper until now. We've been talking for like 40 minutes and we're like, we should be putting this in the show, but it was all stuff, a lot of Star Wars.
It's all Star Wars.
Yeah. You know, people are tired of that, This is what you're about to get is what we think is fit for a show.
Right.
Everybody's going to be like, wait a minute, that sucked.
Right, I want to hear what we didn't get.
Can't be worse. Oh boy. How's your week been?
Pretty good.
Quiet week.
Yeah.
Fairly
say
quiet
pretty,
week.
Pretty uneventful, really, but can't complain, I guess.
Was your store quiet?
Yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
That's the byproduct of having a really light shipping week for comics.
Yeah.
Is you don't make any money because nobody's coming in to buy anything.
Right.
Like most of my subscribers are coming in this week and picking up two books or three books instead of their normal 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, my invoice was less expensive too, but my rent isn't.
Right.
It's like I still got to make money. So, these last several weeks, really since Christmas, have been really tough because there just hasn't been a lot of good stuff coming out.
It's just a slow time of the year, yeah.
It is, but, you know, I feel like the week before Christmas when we had 8 weeks worth of comics hit the stands, some of those could have been stretched out to where we were getting them now, you know, and still giving us good stuff to sell as opposed to, what we got, so.
What do we got for news? I got quite a few things here from the week.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't have that many. A couple things, you know, Star Wars related. I know everybody's a little tired of that. But, you know, there's a lot of rumors swirling around the next movies that we're going to get. And it looks like the big rumor right now is that they're working on a Knights of the Old Republic trilogy and TV show.
Didn't we have that? I thought we recorded.
Well, I don't think we talked about the TV. I don't think we talked about a TV show to go with it. So I know we've talked. The rumors have been, you know, High Republic or Knights of the Old Republic. Those rumors have been swirling for a long time. But the fact that now they're talking about having like a companion TV show to go with them, maybe to air like between the movie releases. I don't know. The details were kind of sparse, but. Seems more and more likely that that's what we're going to get. And we are supposed to get an official announcement this month on what the actual, you know, we've had the date for a while in 2022, but
yeah.
I think we're supposed to get the subject announced this month. So maybe we'll hear that for sure. And that'd be really cool because, like I said, those are stories that I would not mind seeing at all.
Yeah. What did you think of the Morbius trailer?
I would think more about it if I saw it.
You didn't see it?
No, I mean, I saw the picture. Like, I know that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is in it on a poster, like a wanted poster or something.
It's like a graffiti thing.
Yeah. And like I said, based on the costume shown, everybody seems to think it's Tobey, you know, the Tobey Maguire version.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't actually seen the trailer, but I just think it's cool that they're integrating Spider-Man into that. Yep. I mean, they've talked about the, you know, him appearing in Venom 2 a couple of times, but it looks like they're, you know, really developing their the Sony-verse. I just wonder how that is going to integrate with the MCU. You know, because let's say they use the Tom Holland Spider-Man. They have to now be part of the MCU. Like, it has to all be connected somehow. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're going to – I mean, and I, when I say I think, my speculation is a lot like what you and I are going to get into on Monday with what DC has done, and we have our thoughts. I can't wait to get to that, but we'll save that for Monday, because if we start on that now, we'll just be here all night. But what they're doing is they're just going to tie a few threads here and there, and that just right. links it, you know. And so, for instance, what they did in this one is in the Morbius trailer, they've already linked in Vulture.
Right. And
at the end of the trailer, you see Michael Keaton. So
right.
And that now, if you go online and you see anything on Twitter, there's screen grabs of the end of that scene. Remember when he was in prison?
Right.
And there's a character in the background that looks just like Jared Leto.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you can find it in just Google that and you'll find that,
yeah.
that screen grab. So there's hints of that there. And the other thing, like what you said, it's not so much what the trailer is about. And what it shows in the movie, which I think the character looks great when they show the little side shot of Morbius as, you know, Morbius.
And, right.
But the whole idea of everything that we talked about months ago about Sony and Marvel not working well together, and it just, they are, because they all want to make money and they're all going to be integrated. And all that means is like, maybe a character pops up here or there, but it is all one universe, and that's what they're trying right. to portray. And I think the next step is going to be, as we talked about in the when they had their little dispute, Sony and Marvel, that is, I think the next step is going to be if a Sony character shows up in a Marvel movie.
Well, that's right. That's what I'm wondering, how much integration there's going to be going both ways.
Right.
Because one thing for Spider-Man to pop up on a poster in the Morbius movie, it's another thing completely for Venom to show up in the Eternals or whatever, you know, whatever Marvel movie comes up.
But see, the thing is the Spider-Man character showing up isn't really a big crossover, because that is Sony's.
Right.
It's the Vulture character showing up, which was in a Sony movie. But,
well, that's Sony's too, I think, because these
right, but that
Spider-Man
was,
villains go along with Sony right. has the rights to the Vulture as well.
Oh, I know that, but what I'm saying, but that was also considered an MCU movie,
right?
You know what I mean? Right. So it's like now we just have to get deeper integration where maybe a character shows up in an MCU besides Spider-Man. But right now, just having that link and bringing that over, that brings all of this in to. You know, one universe, which it's only just going to be more fun for us. And obviously right. that's what, you know, DC has done already. And now, you know, Marvel, I think, is trying to do it as well.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about with the trailer. It wasn't really so much about the trailer. It was how they seem to be working well together.
Right.
The studios. What else you got?
Real quickly, it looks like, you know, we've talked about the Superman and Lois CW show a few times,
yep.
but it looks like now it's officially gone to series. So, yep. I mean, we had talked about them shooting the pilot and doing the casting. But now it's actually been ordered for a series. Looks like it's going to air this fall. So that's pretty cool. And, last thing I have, I actually just saw this. It looks like they're working on an animated Aquaman miniseries for HBO Max. It's going to be a 3-episode series directed by James Wan. And I guess it's going to take place directly after Aquaman taking the throne of Atlantis.
Three episodes?
Yeah, it's only three episodes.
That's animated. Weird.
Yeah, it doesn't say how long. Well, it could be like
three Dracula. Movies. Yeah,
it could be three. They could be three 90-minute episodes. I don't know, but I honestly wouldn't think so. I think probably three 30 to 40-minute episodes.
Well, movies typically go about their animated features go about a minute. Yeah, yeah, a minute
about
20
and
about an hour. About an hour 20 is what their features are. Typically.
Yeah, so this is probably the same, probably 3 40-minute episodes. Yeah. But like I said, to go to HBO Max in 2022, so it's a little ways away, but
that's
it takes
a
long
away.
Time. Yeah, but it takes a while to get an animated show going.
Absolutely.
So, really coinciding with that, a couple of more details dropped on their Green Lantern series that they're working on. Supposed to feature two prominent Green Lanterns from Earth. Again, no details on what Green Lanterns they are, but they have confirmed Sinestro to be like kind of the major villain of the show, and they're promising it to be the largest scope, the largest DC show in scope that they've done to date. So again, but we're not looking to see that till about 2022 also.
Yeah.
So we got a little ways to go on a bunch of these things, but
there's so much content now that I wish that they would wait and tell us like when something's coming out, like 3 months before it comes out.
Right. I almost don't even need to know they're working on it.
Right.
Until it's ready to come
me.
Out. Right. But this is, unfortunately, that's not the way the world works anymore.
No.
It's too much social media.
I mean, but go and look up Avatar, and you're like, all right, cool. We're getting one in 2027.
Like, yeah.
Geez, really?
25 years after the first one.
Exactly. I don't want to know. I might not be around then. I don't want to know what I'm missing.
I know, right?
That's the thing is, like, you and I are going to be on our deathbeds, and all we're going
to
be.
It's like,
oh, what are your
I have
last
to live
words?
Long enough to get.
Right.
I have to find out who Baby Yoda is.
Right. Our last words aren't going to be something profound. It's going to be, I can't believe I'm going to miss, and then fill in whatever movie we're not going to get to see.
Yeah,
it's like, and our family's going to be so disappointed. Here lies an idiot.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right. I got a few things in news here. So there was a tweet put out this week. It was a handsome gentleman driving home from dinner with his wife, had his hood up.
I heard about that.
And at the end of the tweet, I said, I almost cried. It was because she knew his name. I was like, oh my God. Cause she literally said, she goes, you look like the Green Arrow. I was like, yeah, right. She goes, no, really? You look like Oliver. I was like, what? like, what? You know his name?
I'm so proud.
Yeah, I was. I was like, check, please. Oh, we already got it. I'm on my way home. did you see that Joker passed Dark Knight's record for having the most Oscar nominations?
I did see that, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And what I liked about it was not so much that one passed the other, but the two comic book movies with the most Oscar nominations or whatever are both Joker movies. You know, Joker was the main villain in both movies.
Right.
I mean, one was literally called Joker, but, you know. let's see. Oh, I think the New Mutants trailer, I think that dropped shortly after we last talked.
It
so
did.
We didn't talk about it. But I had tweeted out immediately after, is this part of the MCU? And the answer has pretty much been given since then, where Disney's D23 website had it on there, but then they took it down. So it doesn't look like it's going to be part of it, which when I put the tweet out, I kind of figured it wasn't because this movie was made a while ago.
Right.
And for them to try and pigeonhole that into the MCU is probably not going to happen.
Well, no, because that wouldn't be the first mutants that they would want to show us. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think that's how they would want to introduce us to mutants. So,
no.
that all being said, the trailer actually looks really good.
Oh, you saw that one?
I did see that one.
Yeah, it does look good.
I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's a shame it's not in continuity of anything. You know what I mean? It's just a movie. Right. I think it would do better if it was in continuity, but I do think it looks good. It looks like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do I got here? Oh, this is some news. Got this from my other Twitter handle and my other podcast. But it pertains to us because I had teased back in a few months ago that we would be doing probably you and I were probably talking about doing Lord of the Rings eventually.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, you and I talked we should wait because we wanted to wait for the 4K versions to come out. And if we're going to do these movies, we should, you know, I want the 4Ks. If we're going to watch this and really delve into it, let's wait for that.
Right. Well, yeah, I said the same, especially because I don't own it currently and I don't want to buy it again.
Yeah, you're not going to buy it in standard when 4K should be coming shortly. Well, it looks like we got the news on that. Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit trilogies will finally be hitting 4K, Blu-ray, and digital tentative for October of this year.
Oh, I didn't see that. That actually excites me a lot.
Yeah. Well, I had figured over on my other Twitter talking to people over there that it would be coming around Christmas time because the new Lord of the Rings should be coming, the show will be coming next year, 2021. So they would want to prequel that with the box sets and all of that.
Well, and I was also actually thinking that we would get 4K versions on HBO Max in May.
We could.
And then probably get the releases in October. But yeah, I didn't see that. I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. So that's what right now some of the people I follow over there have it. The only screen pictures they have is all the covers are in German.
Really?
4K German covers. But
I guess so don't look for us to be doing any of that on our show until October.
Yeah. I mean, Lord of the Rings isn't going anywhere. We're not starving for content.
No. No,
I would love
not.
To do it, but it would be a fun thing to lead into the show too, even if we did it a few months. But I typically watch those movies every year right after Christmas. That's what my family had done that for years.
I haven't seen them in a while because they're not, the first one isn't streaming. Like Netflix has two and three, but they don't have Fellowship of the Ring. And because I've been not really dying, but I've kind of had an itch to watch them for a while now because I haven't seen them in a few years at least. And I haven't been able to find it. And now I'm just going to wait because I'll wait for the 4K.
Right. Yeah.
Release, so.
So, yeah. So that's some good news. But yeah, to let our listeners know, we will be doing Lord of the Rings. But it won't be until probably October.
Okay. So, I don't know if they're all like waiting with bated breath to hear our hot take on the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But
our hot take, it was good.
But they'll be fun for us.
Yeah.
Now the question is, are the 4K versions going to be the like director's cuts, like the 4.5 million hour long movie?
I hope so.
Or am I
going
to have to buy them twice like I already
I hope so because I like the longer versions myself.
I like the long versions too because I watch them at home at my own pace. Like in the theater, I don't want four hour versions of anything.
No.
But when you can watch them at home on your own pace, it doesn't bother me.
Right. All right. Do you have anything else? Oh, we had a tweet here just scrolled by from where did it go? Jeremy Armstrong tweeted us the other day, toss a coin to your podcasters.
I saw that.
I like the idea of it too.
Yes,
like,
me too.
I was like, should we get a Patreon account?
Patreon, here we come.
Here we come. We're getting a coin.
That's right. Hey,
hey,
I'll take a nickel anywhere I can get it.
Our first coin.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's a good way to segue into comics where we're going to spend money.
Yeah.
Is that all you got? You ready for that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How am I going to spend my coin this week?
All right. Well, as we alluded to, it was a super quiet week this week for speculator books. You just weren't very many books that really came out and hit the stands this week. The only book I have listed is Red Mother, issue number 2. There was a secret red logo variant for that. Looked to be about 1 in 5 as far as the ratio goes. I got one copy out of the 6 that I ordered. Selling for about $10 on eBay right now. And like I said, that's it as far as speculator books. So,
alrighty. Have a great week.
Again, I don't know if everybody, like that one, you may have luck finding on the shelf, because I don't know if every retailer even discovered that there was a variant in there. So,
yeah. Nope. Friendly Neighborhood had it. They had it up, and it was priced accordingly. Nope. Yeah, it was a slow week. I walked in, I had nothing from my pull list. I just had to, you know, go and grab what I wanted. But yeah, it was a really slow week.
Yeah, it was.
All right. What do we have for back issue bonus?
All right. So first book we're going to look at is Thor, God of Thunder, issue number 19. This is the first appearance of Dario Agger, another rumored character for Christian Bale. His potential appearance in the Thor movie. Again, people are just going nuts speculating on who he could be. This one could fall through the floor instantly once they realize that he's not going to play Dario Agger.
Yeah.
Or it could climb even higher if that is who he's playing. So this is the definition of speculation. But right now, people are going nuts. It's selling for $30 to $50. For a book that shouldn't be worth anywhere near that much. So it's only being driven by this speculation. So, same thing. Get it, get out of it. Buy it and sell it. That's what I would do. If you could find it cheap enough. Next on the list is New Mutants number 14. This is the early appearance of Magic. Again, the New Mutants trailer is driving the sales on this. $15 to $30 at the moment, which is actually a big spread, $15 to $30. But, again, it wasn't a very expensive book, up until recently, so you might be able to pick it up pretty cheap. Next on the list of books being fueled by TV shows and hype, Picard issues 1 and 2 from IDW. These books just came out. Just within the last few months, so they're brand new. But that show is getting a lot of press right now, and it's getting a lot of great reviews. It's already been renewed for season 2. So this book is going crazy right now. Their first 2 issues are selling for about $20 each, although a copy of number 1 did sell for $40 the other day by itself. So, again, you may be able to find these on the rack still at certain stores. So definitely go in and look for those. And then last but not least, we have Ex Machina, issue number 1. This is a 2004 book. Got optioned by Legendary Entertainment. So again, the last of all 4 books right now are being fueled by movies and TV. So this one's jumped to about $25. Not crazy high yet, but could go up again depending on that movie. So.
Cool.
That's it. Yep.
So, a lot of stuff turning into streaming content for us, huh?
Pretty much. We've talked about it before. If it exists in a comic format, it's been optioned somewhere.
Right.
A lot of them may never get made, but, or like the New Mutants, it gets made and may never come out, but, but everything's getting optioned. So,
yeah. No, I know. It's
a good time.
It is a great time. A great time. All right, what do we have for FOC for Monday?
All right, so from Dark Horse Comics, we have Blackwood, The Morning After. Morning spelled M-O-U-R-N, like...
got it.
I guess, like being in mourning.
yeah.
This is issue number 1 of 4. So this is a sequel. Blackwood came out last year. Again, like I said, 4-issue miniseries. There's going to be 2 covers for that. From DC Comics, we have variant covers for Batman's Grave, issue number 5, Ji Hung Lee. We have Catwoman, issue 20, by Ian McDonald. My favorite, Dollhouse Family number 4, Jay Anacleto. That's a great cover. And then Supergirl 39 by Derek Chu. Two new series, well, actually one series and one one-shot. We have Batman Pennyworth RIP. Again, that's just a one-shot. It only has one cover. And then Green Lantern Season 2, issue number 1 of 12. So, again, this is going to run basically for all of 2020. And then we'll probably get Season 3 next year. There's three covers to go along with that book.
Okay.
That's it for DC. From Image, we have Tartarus, issue number 1. Doesn't specify whether this is ongoing or a miniseries, so I don't know. There are two covers for it. And then jumping to Marvel, we have Amazing Spider-Man number 39. This is Pepe Larraz, and this is the Gwen Stacy variant. I like this one quite a bit, too. It's a really cool cover. And then new series, we have Gwen Stacy, issue number 1. This is the reason why we have all these Gwen Stacy covers.
I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries, and there's multiple covers. And also Nebula, issue number 1 of 5, with multiple covers.
I've seen a lot of ads for those two, too, in the books.
Gwen Stacy in particular, I mean, they're really pushing that book. All right, from Boom, we have Alienated, issue number 1. There's going to be 6 issues of that, and there's 3 covers. And then last but not least, we have from Dynamite, Death to the Army of Darkness, issue number 1 with 780 covers. So I don't know. Dynamite, like I said, there's got to be, if there's not at least 15 covers, I'll eat my sock. I mean, yeah. It's like a whole page of covers for that book. But you know, and again, Dynamite has the license. They do Army of Darkness all the time. So
I was thinking of submitting a cover, maybe a little finger painting or something.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, I should be doing covers for somebody at this point.
For Dynamite.
Yeah, for Dynamite. All right. Yeah. And that's it for FOC.
All right. All right. That was good. Let's get into book club.
Okay.
We had a pretty slow week.
Yes.
So I actually grabbed another book because I had read both the same books that you read. Okay. And then I grabbed a third one. So let me talk about my first, okay, that one first. Maybe you even read it. Jessica Jones, Blind Spot number 1?
No, I didn't.
Of 6?
Not yet. Yep.
Man, it was my favorite book of the week.
And that's not saying much.
No, it would probably be my favorite book on almost any week. It was that good.
Okay.
It was really good. If you've heard of her, she has a Netflix show. Did you know that?
Yeah, okay. I've heard.
So I think this is a spinoff of that. I'm just kidding.
Is it?
No. No, she's married to Luke and she has a daughter, blah, blah, blah.
Very, well, comics continuity.
Comics continuity. So at the beginning, and she finds a body in her apartment, not her apartment, because her apartment now is just her office.
Right.
So she finds a body in her office, and that's where it takes off. The way they portrayed her, the way they used her thought processes, I haven't read a lot of Jessica Jones lately, so I don't know if they've done this in the past, but I thought it was really cool. So when she looks at a person, she analyzes them, mm-hmm, and they were using Polaroids, like, over the person. So it was almost like the Polaroid was like an X-ray for what you're looking at on her. And you know how in a Polaroid, they'll have, like, the bottom part is a little thicker.
Writing or something.
Yeah. So it's got the writing on the description on that's what she's thinking as she looks at you. So if she looks at you up and down and she sees a ear hole from, all right, past earring is on one of the characters she wrote. I thought that was really cool.
That is cool.
And it showed, like, how her thinking is. It's pretty funny. I'll talk to you about it later, but I had a couple of similarities where it's a way of life and it's a way of thinking that I am very, very familiar with. But aside from that, I thought the artwork was fair. it wasn't, it's not going to blow you away, but it's Jessica Jones. It's
right.
It's grounded, right? And I just, all I want to say is the way this ended is going to blow you away.
Okay.
You're going to want to, you'll be like, when this ends, it's a lot like the end of, it has not, it's not anything like it, but it makes you want to get book two as quick as possible. Just like,
okay.
Just like episode two of Dracula. When that ended, you were like, I got to see episode three now.
Right.
Yeah, this, and episode, book two comes out January 29th, I believe they said. And cause I already looked, I'm like, I got to find out. I got to pick that up. It was fun. It was that good. Okay. And I honestly, I can't wait for you to read it. So that was my review on that. I'm sorry. Jessica Jones, Blind Spot number 1 of 6, Marvel Comics, written by Kelly Thompson, art by Matea de Lulis.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Don't know.
I'm not even gonna try to attempt cover art by Valerio Giordano. Hey, I think I nailed it.
Giordano.
Okay. Anyways. All right. Now, you're up. Which of the two? I read both of them.
All right. So I guess let's just start with the big release of the week. You know, the marquee book this week was Iron Man 2020. Obviously, Marvel Comics. This is issue 1 of 6, but this is not just a 6-issue series. Like, this is a mini event. There's a bunch of tie-in books that go along with this. Machine Man and a couple other books. So this is I don't want to say it's like a absolute carnage level event, but there's probably 20 books or 15 books total for this. So this was written by Dan Slott. It had art by Christos Gage. So I guess for anybody that's been keeping up with Iron Man, lately, you know that Iron Man was killed, or Tony Stark was killed in Civil War II and basically was reincarnated as an AI. And he's been living in a, you know, synthetic body. He didn't know that he was reincarnated until very recently.
That's a bummer.
He didn't realize that he knew he had, like, been on death's door, but he didn't realize that he died and came back as an AI. But in any case, so he outed himself at the end, the last issue of Tony Stark Iron Man, and his brother Arno Stark basically used that as an opportunity to seize control of Stark Industries and become Iron Man. And a lot of the storyline from Tony Stark Iron Man built into what we're going to get with Iron Man 2020. All that being said, I'm not sure how you felt about it. I couldn't be less interested in this event after reading this book. I just didn't think it was very good at all. I don't think the character of Arno Stark is likable in any way. And, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it. So
yeah, I was there. I'm with you through 80% of the book.
I know what you're going to say. The end.
Yeah,
yeah. That might get me to come back, but I don't know.
Right.
Well,
here's the thing. Most of the book was pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
So when the next book, are we going to remember when the next book comes out?
I won't. Because hopefully by the time the next one comes out, the stands will be filled with better stuff.
I wish they had done a better job through the first part of the book. And I guess they kind of did it. I just didn't. Maybe I should read it again, because when you see the ending and you understand what they're going for there and the whole movement and the basically it's basically a civil rights book. In disguise, not really in disguise, but a different take on a civil rights movement, right?
Right.
And I just didn't get that at first, and it just seemed weird. And the other part was a lot of the, you know, a lot of the AI in the book, they looked like people, so I didn't think the art really distinguished it that well.
Well, I guess, did you read Tony Stark Iron Man?
No.
Okay, so that would have helped a lot, because you would know who all these people are.
Right.
because it was all kind of fleshed out in Tony Stark Iron Man. So again, I feel like that's almost required reading.
But see, I was going to say I didn't think it was required because while I – maybe that's why 80% of it I didn't really – I was catching up. But I think by the end of the book, you're fine. I don't think it's required. It helps.
You probably are fine.
But it's a great place to jump in.
But a lot of that stuff was fleshed out in advance of this event.
Right.
So so I don't know because I came into it after having read that, so I already had the background. Right. I don't know how this one stands on its own. I guess you know better than I do, like you just said, because you came into it cold.
Right.
And you didn't, you didn't have much trouble figuring it out. But I felt like a lot of that stuff, you know, you had to know. I felt like you kind of had to know it going into it, but maybe that's because I did know it.
Right.
You know?
And, well, so. See, for instance, I think this book, and maybe that's the weakness of the book, is it is a number one, so they're trying to give readers like myself enough backstory to get the gist of it. Right. Very similar to The Witcher, which by the way, I watched again. I finished it again. Yeah.
I need to do that.
Much better the second time.
I bet. Like I said, I really want to watch it again.
So I finished it 2 days ago. I go into Friendly Neighborhood. We're talking about The Witcher now, not the book.
Yeah.
But I go into Friendly Neighborhood today, and Slade hits me with this other scene in the show, and he goes, oh, so your second time, did you notice when such and such and blah, blah, blah? I go, no.
No.
Oh, no. He goes, yeah, when she hits the kids, and that's the kid, and that's the one that ends up having, you know, incest with the sister, and those are the two little kids, but they grow up to be the king, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, crap, I got to watch it a third time.
Yeah, because I don't know what you're talking about either. So
I don't, but he knows these characters, so it's like,
right.
There's so much depth to that show. You sending me the timeline map really helped.
Helps a lot.
That helped.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, what I discovered by looking at that timeline that I didn't know the first time I watched it. Like in episode one, when Geralt meets the wizard in the tower there, or whatever, he tells him that.
I think the your timeline's off.
Well, but he tells him that the girl in the woods is going to be your destiny, right?
Right, right.
At that point, she wasn't even born yet.
Right.
I said, I didn't know that the first time I watched it, though. You know what I mean? And then when I saw the timeline, I was like, they're talking about this prophecy and this destiny for this character that isn't even going to be born for like 30 more years or 40 more years, you know?
Yeah.
So
I thought it was – so you sent me that timeline, and I had already been into, I think, episode two again or three. And I noticed that I think it's episode one. So in episode one, he has a scar over his forehead, on his forehead, like over his eye, right? And you see that in episode one, but then it's episode two that he gets beaten by the elves. Remember, and he's bound and beaten by the elves. That's where he gets the cut.
Right.
But on your timeline, it says that one takes place two takes place before, whatever it is, but it didn't match up. But I thought that
it's not my timeline.
No, I know
I just
it's
copied
not your
it
time.
And sent it to you.
I'm just saying the timeline. Yeah, the timeline.
Because I'm not smart enough to have made that timeline.
No. So, but it is a lot of fun the second time.
Yeah,
knowing the timeline. The other thing I'd like to do now is watch episode one, then go right to eight. Because they're basically, those are the bookends of the show. It's like, okay, we're going to start you here. And then in episode one, they show her playing like whatever, that rocks or whatever on the ground. And she looks over and she thinks she sees somebody. And she just sees the back end of a horse. But in episode eight, you see that it was the Witcher looking at Geralt's looking at her. And then he just ducked back into the thing.
See, I picked up on that even the first time watching it. But,
you did? Because we didn't he was there.
Well, but...
No,
but I'm saying when I saw it in episode eight...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I realized that,
right.
You know, we had seen that. You know, like I said, I remembered seeing it in the first episode.
Oh, you want to know one that I messed up? And it's even in our podcast on Monday? Mm-hmm. And it's funny, because I'd already gotten to that when I was working on a Monday's show. So... at the wedding scene when the mom, you know, marries off the daughter and blah, blah, blah. I thought that was Siri.
Oh, yeah.
But that's Siri's mother.
Right.
I didn't know that. It's like, and I even said it in the podcast. I'm like, because the daughter has that same power.
Right.
Siri's mother has the same, she blows out the windows and everybody. So,
by the way, we're spoiling the hell out of The Witcher right now. So if you haven't watched it.
Again, I don't think we're spoiling it because when you go to watch that, you could tell me all of this and I'd still be like, if you have no idea what's going on, we're not spoiling a damn thing. Yeah. You won't figure it out. We just said some girl playing rocks at the beginning and at the end. It's like, all right. So this is a fun book club.
Yeah, I know.
See how much we liked Iron Man 2020?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it was like the book to read this week. There's really all there was. Yeah. So.
And then our other book, Red Mother number 2.
Right.
What'd you think of that one?
Right. Which, again, I wouldn't normally put a number 2 on here, but there were just so few books to choose from this week.
Well, and that's why I did Jessica Jones, Blind Spot. Yeah. I was like, it's a number 1.
So, yeah, well, and the other reason why I picked it is because, you know, we did number 1 on Book Club when it came out last month.
And we liked it.
And we both really liked it. So there's a tendency a lot of times for the number 2s to be a little bit of a letdown after the number 1s. So this was. this, unfortunately, was a bit of a letdown. Like, just not a whole lot happened. Like, nothing really happened in this entire
issue.
It was
a very quick read.
It was very quick because there was a lot of pages with no words, and
I like that.
I mean, I like it too, but yeah, it was a little bit of a letdown. I'm still in for the series; I still like it.
Yeah,
but I don't really get the end. Like, I'm not quite sure the significance of the package that she got. And
I really was expecting a heart, but I don't know.
Look like a heart, but it looks like a. Like an artsy representation of a heart. Yeah, and then
it's like something we did in art class.
I was really expecting it to be her boyfriend's head.
Yeah.
And when it wasn't that, I was a little disappointed. And I guess that was just myself projecting onto it. But I really wanted like the
I think that says more about you.
I wanted the Brad Pitt moment, you know, when he looked in the
box.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of what I expected it to be.
I didn't think that because I didn't think they would give that away. We don't know what happened to him yet.
No, we don't. I thought that's how we were going to find out.
Yeah. This isn't Basketful of Heads.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I felt like this was a little bit of a letdown. Again, just not a very strong week for books this week. I haven't read anything else. I know there was a couple, like there's a new Aquaman book and it'll probably be fine. It'll just be like all the other Aquaman books, you know, but as far as big releases, there just wasn't a whole lot. So, wasn't much to choose from.
Well, that's what happens after December. I mean, we had those weeks in December where no FOCs, nothing coming out. So,
well, and that's the whole thing. If there was no FOC 3 weeks ago, that means
no
we had no
today.
Books. Yeah. So. So that's it. Yeah. For our book club.
All right. That's it. Do you have anything else?
No.
Wow. Short show. Slow week.
Yeah.
And we even talked about The Witcher.
I know. We were like trying to stretch for content.
No, it's not that hard.
Well, considering this thing's going to clock in at about 45 minutes, that's pretty quick show for us. Yeah, I did the math.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. That was easy. Do we want to tease our conversation on Crisis?
If you have a tease that you want, I mean, it's up to you. I mean,
you're a big help.
Well, I mean, if you have a way to tease it.
Well, I said it on Twitter. I think what they did is historic.
I think you think higher of it than I do, but I guess we'll hash all that out on Monday. So there's your tease, right?
Look at you. You're getting what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
Yes, I know that's the tease. That was the idea. We'll talk about that on Monday. And I like the idea that you don't agree. But did you like it though? Did you like the show?
I didn't like it. I just don't think it was as I guess as important as you do. So we'll get into that.
I think it's huge. I think it's historic. And we called it.
Yeah, we did.
We called it. So you'll have to check that out on Monday. I'd love to talk about it now, but you know, we've been talking through the magic of podcasting,
we're going to be talking about it in about 5 minutes. So,
yep,
you're just not going to hear it.
Yeah,
it's so on Monday. I know.
You're funny. All righty. Oh God. Oh boy. All right. What did you guys buy this week? Anything? Because it was a slow week. Let us know. Hopefully something. Let us know on Twitter at @brightside_chat. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Proud members of the Nerdy Legion. Tons of content there. Go to iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe. That always helps. And, you know, I think it's very important to say this week, support your local comic book store, because that's what this podcast is literally all about.
Yes. Go out and buy something, please.
Go down there, start talking. They'll upsell you on nothing.
Exactly.
John will sell you a crystal clear, lovely water.
That's right.
Do you have a refrigerator?
I do. I sell water, 50 cents. Come get one.
price of a plane ticket? It's a deal.
Yeah. You're already here.
Oh, that's right. I forgot my own ruse.
Right. I forgot where I was.
For a minute there, I thought I was in the studio under the stairs.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. We will be back on Monday with our wrap up of Crisis on Infinite Earth, the CW historical event. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.